pleasure to be back in the house of the Lord and receive his blessings. So, we're going to read this morning from Proverbs 1 through 25. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're ever grateful and thankful that we have a Savior that we can call upon. Lord, that would bless our hearts, Lord, and give us strength. Father, even if it may seem dark out, Lord, still you are the light unto us. Guide us, Lord, in the pathways of righteousness. Lord, that we will surrender, Lord, always unto you. Let your blessings be with us. Lord, we ask you to bless the Sunday school classes, Father. Grant unto them, Lord, that which they have need to hear. Father, that they will be strong from the word that they do hear. Oh, God, and guide us, Lord, and as we read these scriptures this morning, Lord, let them bless our hearts and let us be surrendered to them. Father, we ask you to bless Brother Dale and touch him in a special way that he will bring unto us, Lord, words that will strengthen to our hearts and leadership that we have need of. And just bless us all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read Proverbs 16. The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord.
All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits.
Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established.
The Lord hath made all things for himself.
Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Through a hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished.
By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil.
When a man ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemy to be at peace with him.
Better is a little with his righteousness than great revenues without right.
A man's heart devises his way. The Lord directs his steps.
A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresses not in judgment.
A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weight of the bag shall his works are his works.
It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness.
Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right.
The wrath of a king is as a messenger from death, but a wise man will pacify it.
And the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is a cloud of latter rain.
How much better is it to give wisdom than gold, and to the understanding rather than to be chosen than silver.
The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul.
Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall.
Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud.
He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whosoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he.
The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of his lips increase learning.
Understanding is a wealth of might lieth in him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly.
The heart of the wise teaches his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips.
Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones.
There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we trust in the Lord. Happy is he. Amen. Let's try 477, no turning back. Amen. Have you made up your mind? You're not going to turn back? Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. Oh, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back, I won't turn back. Amen. I have started for the kingdom. Oh, I have started for the kingdom. I have started for the kingdom. I won't turn back, I won't turn back. Glory! Though none go with me, still will I follow. Oh, though none go with me, still will I follow. Though none go with me, still will I follow. No turning back. Let's stand. No turning back. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Glory! No turning back. Take this whole world. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back, I won't turn back. The cross before me, the cross before me, the world behind me. Oh, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Glory! Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. Just turn around and shake one another's hand. Say, God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. No turning back. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen. And I won't turn back. Praise the Lord Jesus. You excited this morning? Amen. You looking forward to the word? Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Amen. Sing it with all your heart. Amen. And I believe God can truly open our eyes this morning.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, oh Lord. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes. I want to see you, amen, Lord. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, Lord. Shining in the light of your glory.
You love me.
Pour out your power and love as we sing. Shining in the light of your glory.
Amen.
So pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy.
Amen, amen.
Holy, 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 Lord, you are.
Holy,
holy, to see you.
Amen and amen.
Praise him. Amen.
Amen. I want to see him, don't you? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians 2 and 1 Thessalonians 1. I don't know whether they've hooked up in the basement to get started or not, but we were expecting company, but okay. We'll just go on and they can do in the basement because that'll be the best part. Amen. Sister Monica's class says, plus Zach Black is supposed to be meeting in the sanctuary at 12:40 to practice a song. So remember that, you know, and so Lord will be, at Ephesians 2 and 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, if the Lord willing, this coming Sunday, Wade and I will be going up into Illinois to put up deer stands and do some things on Monday and Tuesday, not on the Sunday, but we're going up and going to visit with a brother up in that area on Sunday, and Wade will be ministering probably there, but then we'll be back maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, all right, never what it takes to try to get done, but what we're going to do is we're going to make the announcements, and then I told them if they have to change because of some company coming in that needs interpretation. But as far as laying out right now, next Sunday morning, Brother Luis will be taking the morning service. Brother Aaron will be taking the afternoon service. And Brother Bob Black will take the Wednesday following, which is the 29th. So that will be the announcements. As now something goes wrong with the, because there are supposed to have been some people come that would need interpretation. So if it is, we can get that set up and, you know, do whatever we need to do or what they need to do, they can take care of it while we're gone. Okay. All right. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for the day. Thank you for loving us, Lord. And we just ask you to guide us now as we attempt to speak a little bit about you, because that's the main thing that we need. We need hearing to come, and we believe faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So we pray that you would bless each one and open our eyes and understanding, and let our hearts be set on you. Forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and help us to walk in you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Any other announcements that we missed? I don't know. Yeah, Father's Day. Sign up now to all of the brothers that want to go and up, and we'll have a couple of days of some relaxation. So for all of the fathers. All right. Ephesians 2 we've been reading, so we're just going down to verse 8 to save time and pick that up. Then we'll go over to 1 Thessalonians. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now remember back in verse 5 and all, you're talking about by grace you're saved. Now he says by grace through faith, which is a journey, it's traveling, and that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Okay. Now let's pick up 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, in the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we've been attempting for a while to minister about salvation, talking about salvation, and we chose that as a point because So many things can be covered in using the word salvation more than to talk about redemption or different things. But now remember what we've been driving at. That you're saved by grace through faith. It's a journey. It's a travel. It's just like life. You're born into the world. You come into the world and you live, but you're taking a journey through life. Well, your Christian journey is the same way. It starts here in our world of life and, you know, and then continues on until we leave from this world. All right. And as we finish that part up of leaving from this world, you know, all the way through until we either die, go by the grave, whatever, or come to a change in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, whatever the existence, we will one day change from this way of living or term or thought, and we'll be brought into a glorified condition in what you call heaven, whatever you want to call it, and doing to the point. But then it would come to an existence greater than this one. All right. So then we don't expect. I'm one firm believer in a future.
Amen.
All right. We don't expect things to just play around and we go up to heaven and we sit down and we play harps and stuff like that, you know, and do. No, we're going to be human beings.
Amen.
And we're going to be living according to the book of Revelations right here in this world.
Amen.
On this earth that's been totally renewed.
Amen.
Not destroyed, but to be renewed or changed. And we'll go into an existence of that. And then we'll get a message of cheer.
Amen.
Down through the endless ages. Because I've taught you from the beginning, this is what I believe. I believe that the time we have here on earth, in our Christian journey, as we're talking about, is only a preparation for the future to come. All right. See, heaven help. I love being a Christian, and I like believing, and I enjoy living. I have a good time at it and all, but I sure do hope this is not all of it. You know, I mean, that's the best I can say. If this is all of it, then, I don't know. So I want to, I want to believe in a future, as the old Indian called it, the happy hunting grounds, and this one would call it this, and that would call it that. But it's a future time to be living after this existence here, but this is the preparation. All right? Yeah, this is the life, the preparation. We spend our life preparing for the future. Right? You go to school, you go to college, you go to this, you go do a job, you learn this, you do that, and you're preparing for the future. We'll see one day the future will take place. And when it does, then we'll see that what we've been here is just a foundation. It's just getting us ready to where we can understand. So there'd be a message of cheer to be down through the endless ages. As time runs out of here. All right. Now, we covered in our last messages talking about, as I said, we've been dealing with for salvation. All right. We'll keep that title for a while to deal with salvation because it will cover any avenue that we need to cover. But what have we been talking about? What is the new birth? All right. Now, Jesus in speaking, we'll get to it in another message later, but speaking to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. Well, Nicodemus couldn't understand that terminology. Now, he was the greatest learned scholar of all the times, you know, and Jesus spoke of him and honored him for that, the teacher of Israel, and didn't understand what he was saying. But he was saying, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, you mean I got to go to my mother's womb? I got to be born again? He said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. He said, in other words, the original translations literally says you must be born from above.
Yeah, right.
See, So Jesus was saying, you got to be born from where I come from. But said, you don't understand this earthly things, you know. Said, because the earthly things that are happening are an example to you. And you don't understand that. How can it be that you'll understand heavenly matters that I would speak of? All right. But he said, you must be born again. All right. What is the born again experience? What is the new birth as we talk about? Well, I cried, I shouted, we come to the altar, we done this, we done that. All that's well and good. But that's an outward manifestation of an inward work, or it's worth nothing unto you. All right? See, because we've got to be born from above like he was born. All right? Then, you know, we'll get to that in a minute and cover some parts of it. But what is the new birth? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally revealed to you. Well, I never heard of the new birth or born again experience being a revelation. Well, that's where I think we need to grow up and start learning a little bit from, you know, the Word of God and start understanding above our little sugar tit thoughts that we have. You know, well, I cried, I prayed, I asked God to save me. That's well and good. But did he save you? I accepted him as my Savior, and I believe that's all I need to do. Well, the Bible says being born again. It's a process that's taking place. And like I've tried to say to you, that it took the disciples 3.5 years for the Lord Jesus to bring his message to them that they would qualify for going to the upper room. And the reason I use the word qualify, because the Bible said that Jesus was seen of over 500 brethren after his resurrection, but only 120 made the upper room. Some reason or thought they didn't qualify. So they didn't get to go there. All right. But those that did qualify and had 3.5 years of teaching of the Word of God. And see, we think all you got to do is just walk down the altar and say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. All right. That's the start in the right direction. That ain't the whole journey. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. When you was born into the world, what did you do? Well, I was just born into the world. No, you got to eat, you got to live, you got to prepare, you got to do, to grow, right? And so is it in your Christian journey. And that's what Nicodemus, see, couldn't understand Jesus explaining, taking the natural life that he was looking at. He said, you must be born of water and spirit. And applying that to him, to try to get him to understand what it meant. But see, those people back there, they believed in God. They done all they could do. Those disciples for 3.5 years were great believers. But they had to go to Pentecost to receive the new birth. All right. And see, then what do we do? Well, I've just accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. What else can I do? Well, what has God done? And we use the terminologies and we say, well, you know, Abraham believed God. What else can we do other any more than what Abraham did? That's right. But God done something to Abraham. Amen. Abraham believed God, the Bible said, and it was imputed unto him or imparted, translated down to him or moved, brought to his realm of a point that Abraham, the believing, is what brought God on the scene. Right? He believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. All right? And in believing it, then it brought God on the scene. But what did God do? God gave Abraham circumcision as a sign of the new birth, a sign of the change of life or to making us Christians. And he gave that to Abraham. So what has God done for you and I? Well, I tell you what, I, I don't understand the way that you folks talk, you know, because I've always just thought we just went up and shook the preacher's hand or cried or said some creed or some doctrine or some idea, you know, and we're just saved. Well, where'd you get that from? You didn't get it out of the Bible. In the Bible, they had an experience. It doesn't matter whether it was 120 in the upper room, the 3,000 outside later on that day, no matter how many or whatever or how long it took, they had to have an experience. A sensation you don't have to have. Sensations are stimulations upon your flesh, you know, beings coming out. But an experience is something you live through. You've lived through. I'm 79 years old. I've lived through that part. All right. See, because it's been a journey to me. All right. See, then what is the new birth? See? It's the birth of the word that you've heard. What was the new birth to the disciples? Come on, what was the new birth to the disciples? Like I said, they were 3.5 years and then Jesus teaching them. That didn't give them eternal life. Right? They had to go to the upper room to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And he had to die to release that life to where they could come back upon them to give them eternal life. So it's a lot more than just say, well, you know, I believe God. I accepted God. I'm a Christian. That's what's wrong with the world today. Then you see them just go right, see people just go right back. I don't throw no stones. I just try to tell truth. When we was in the Baptist church, we had this one man. We'd go to him and talk to him when they were having a revival. And he'd come to the altar and he'd cry and pray and he'd get up and he'd say, I'm saved now. I'm saved. Well, he never made it till the next night. Now, I'm not telling no joke nor lie. I'm telling it like it is. He never made it till the second night. All right. So then finally there'd come another revival time. And they'd go to the, we'd go to him and talk to him about accepting. He'd come to the altar. He'd cry. He'd pray. He'd get up. He'd say, I got it now. But he never did get it as far as I was concerned. I heard later he did become a Christian. Well, I hope so. But I'm just saying what I knew or know about the story. Every year he would make the same commitment or every revival. How about you and I? Come on. What have we taught our children? Well, all you got to do is just go to church and be good. Well, Alcoholics Anonymous has got you beat. I don't mean that as a joke. I tell this as the truth. They do go to the meetings and hang with it all the time and at least dedicate themselves to that. But see, we'll accept it and it works for a little while, seem like, and all at once it just seems to fall away. And then you see people just dropping off, and leaving, and they'll come back again one day when they get contacted again. Well, I didn't know that was to be the Christian life. I thought the Christian life was to be Christ to come and live in you. And no matter what would come or go, from that day on, you walked in Christ. And believed him and followed him and tried to live the life and tried to walk right and do right. See, I thought that was the Christian life. See, we've got to deal with something greater then, and that's what I've been trying to do is to speak to you about the new birth. The new birth, we've read it from the prophet over and over. What did Christ the mystery of God reveal? What is the new birth, he said? He said it's a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Not you shouted, not you cried, not you spoke in tongues, not you done all of those things. That's the after effect. The baby cries after the baby gets here. That's the after effects, or proof that it's alive. And something has taken place to the little feller, and they cry out. All right? Because that's part of the experience. Okay? But now think about it. How many churches teach, I'm just truthfully asking you the question. You go to the Baptist, they have their way. You say, you must be born again, and they'll tell you what you need to do. You need to accept this. You need to do that. You need to come to church. You need to do that. You need to be good. All right. You go over to the Methodists, they're going to tell you this, and they're going to tell you that. You go to the Catholics, they're going to tell you this. You go to this one, they're going to tell you this, they're going to tell you that. But where is the new birth involved in that? Why is it not that Nicodemus, it's hard to stay away from that message because I got my thoughts laid out for it. But don't you think that Nicodemus knew all about living a good life? Don't you think Nicodemus lived a good, natural life? The position he was in really demanded a life be lived, or they would remove him from it one way or the other. He didn't get by with sin because he was the high priest. He was held responsible more than anyone else as being a high priest or a great leader in Israel. See, because he was expected to be something. Well, don't you think Nicodemus could tell all about that? Why was it he didn't understand Jesus? Well, all it is we just cry and shout. Well, if that's all we got to do, why didn't Nicodemus say that? Why didn't Nicodemus just say, well, I cried and I shouted and I had a good time? Don't you think he did? Don't you think he served God to the best of could be? Why didn't he just say, well, that's what it is. It's I've done all these things now, Lord Jesus, so I'm saved. No, I like people, and I don't mean this wrong now, I mean it the right way. I like intelligent people. And that is not necessarily how much education you got. I'm just talking about intelligence. I like to talk to intelligent people, not college degrees. That's not intelligence to me. Intelligence to me is have plain common sense. That's intelligence. If you just got plain, common, straight sense. That's the best intelligence anybody could use. All right? And you think Nicodemus wasn't that form of a man? But yet when the Lord Jesus said, you must be born again, he said, I don't understand you. If you're telling me that I need to shout, I need to cry, I need to go to church, I need to live good and all, I've done that all my life. Come on. Right? Put yourself in the situation with Nicodemus. Don't you think that he had a good thing? He bragged on the Lord Jesus. He told him, he said, no man can do the things you're doing unless God be with him. And Jesus turned back and gave him the greatest report. He said, you are the teacher. He was the greatest of all the teachers, and he couldn't understand. If it was crying, if it was shouting, if it was speaking in tongues, if it was some emotional situation, any form whatsoever, why would Nicodemus not be able to say, I've got that? You remember the rich young ruler? When in him they said, I've kept these things from my youth. You know, he said, what must I do? And he said, I've kept these things from my youth. But yet he didn't accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. But yet he lived all that life. Do you understand the point? That's a message. I'll review it when we get to it. But think about it. When Jesus said, you must be born of water and of spirit. All right. Now, that water there is just not you get your baptism. That's part of it. All right? Repent, everyone, and be baptized. What must we do to be saved? Repent, everyone. All right, that's part of it now. But that's not all the story. That's not that water that he's talking about there. I'll show you where the prophet said it. That's washing of the water by the word. See, it's not just water baptism and Holy Ghost baptism that puts you in the kingdom. It's washed by the water of the word. We'll cover that on sanctification when we get down to talking. Because you see, I'm talking basically, there's a few people here that come through Pentecost. And they know their basic doctrine was to be justified, sanctified, and have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But the rest of us are Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever, you know. And we never had none of that. All we have, just go to church, be good, shake hands with the preacher, you know, pay your tithe, make sure everything's running good, you know, have a good family, do all this. And you're saved. Make sure you pay the part, you know. We had an old saying, the Baptist, well, you know that fella made it because he paved the parking lot. Well, in other words, our point was he was a good guy because he showed what he was doing. He done a lot of good things. And that was all right, but we had one that was kind of a little on the other flaky side of the story, and he painted the church. Well, everybody put him in heaven when he died. Well, I ain't got nothing to do with me. I don't care what God done with him. That's his business. I'm just making a point. All right, but listen. Do you realize that we have examples in the Bible that we need to go by and look at? You know that Mary made a confession in her life that she was virgin born. Yeah, right? She told everybody, you know, she was virgin born. In other words, not she be virgin born. The baby that she had was virgin born. All right? You with me? Yes. They finally, even the Catholics made her virgin born. That's all right. That's nothing to me. But the point is, you know that she actually denied the Lord Jesus. She denied the virgin birth. She denied the fact that Jesus was virgin born. You remember the story when they were there and they had been there for about 3 days and they went back and he wasn't among them and they got to hunting for Jesus and they found out he went back and they found him talking to the scribes and Pharisees and things and the big rulers and all, you know. And when they did, then here comes Mary up, and she had give her confession all of her life, because at that time he's 13, 14 years old. And her confession had been that she was a virgin and had had a child and fulfilling the scripture. Well, then right there in front of everybody, she said, your father and I sought you diligently, acclaiming what? That Joseph was the father of Jesus. She denied the virgin birth. Right? She denied him being virgin born. And by denying all of that, it would have put her right in a bad position. Because that would have made her a prostitute. Okay? But what did Jesus say? He said, I must be about my Father's business. Right? But she denied the virgin birth. You know what the prophet says on the seed not air with a shuck? The Pentecostals denied the birth of the word. Your denominational church systems has denied the birth of the word. In other words, that the word was virgin born. They claim him to be one of the three. You know, the Trinity doctrine came out. And they declared him to be one of the three. All right. Denying him to be Almighty God. All right, what about me and you? Come on. You remember what we were talking about on the last message a little bit? According to the book of Revelation, there's three unclean spirits like frogs comes out in the last days. And the prophet said after the opening of the seals, it comes out. Which would mean after he preached the seals. Come out a new trinity. What is that new trinity? Your ideas and my ideas contrary to the word. Because what's the old trinity? Comes straight from Rome. Not in the word of God. Has no basics in the word. There's no basics in the word for a trinity. A triune being, yes, because that's what God is. But not a trinity. Not three persons. See, we told that, you know, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Where is that in the Bible? It's not there. See, so we're denying the virgin birth. We're denying the fact that Jesus Christ is Almighty God. Oh. I didn't know it was that bad. Yeah, what we've been taught actually destroys the fact of understanding that Jesus was God. When he said, I and my Father are one. He said, unless you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. He declared himself to be Almighty God in human flesh. The Bible plainly holds that up all the way through. Right? But see, what are we doing? We're denying the word. You say, well, I think he's a trinity. I think there's really three gods. Well, then you're denying the word the same thing Mary done. That's what your prophet is illustrating. Mary denied the birth of Jesus Christ as to being virgin. And made him the son of Joseph. What do we make him? If the new birth is what the prophet said it was, and the Bible says it is, Jesus said it was, he said you must be born again. You must be born from above. You must have a new birth because your natural birth is not good enough. Was that simply what he was explaining? That's what the Lord Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, all these things I kept all of my life. I shouted, I cried, I spoke in tongues. You understand what I'm making the illustration? Amen. I'm making the illustration the way we talk. Amen. It wasn't back there, or they cried, shouted, spoke. I'm staying it today what we're doing. Amen. We're denying the fact that Almighty God dwelt in human flesh in a man called Jesus Christ. But yet claiming him as our Savior. Right? But how do we declare him? Well, how did you get born again? Well, I shouted, I cried, I spoke in tongues. I felt good, I had a shouting good time. Glory, hallelujah, I've done all kind of things. Now, whether you caught what I was doing or not, that wouldn't work with Nicodemus. Because Nicodemus had every bit of this ducks in a row. Right? Plain old language. He was a straight up and down guy. He had everything in perfect order to fit what Jesus was saying about the new birth. But because of his terminologies, he couldn't understand him. Do we understand him? How can you have salvation without the blood of Jesus Christ? Oh, I believe. Well, Judas believed. And according to the Bible, just one old brother used to say, the last time I read it, it's still there. According to the Bible, the devils believed in one God. And they tremble about it. That's according to the Bible now. Well, does that make them saved? See, what is your new birth? That's all I've been trying to drive at for week after week. What is your new birth? What do you count your point of salvation as being? Well, I really don't know, Brother Dale. I've just always been a good person. Went to church and tried to do what was right. Praise God. Alcoholics Anonymous like to have you as a good neighbor. That don't make you a Christian. Come on, I keep laying it down. Don't you think Nicodemus had it and he had everything in line? He was a great guy. He had everything in perfect order. Yet he couldn't answer the simplicity of when that Jesus said, you must be born again. The rich young ruler said, all of these things I've kept from my youth. What did Jesus say? You lack one thing. Go sell what you got and give it to the poor. The Bible said he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he let his riches get between him and God. What about it? What is the new birth? Could we be denying the fact of Jesus being Almighty God? No. I believe it. Brother Dale, I've always believed Jesus was God. Well, why did you have him as a second person running around? Or the third, or whatever you had him. Well, that's all I know. Well, that's good. But what about the truth? See, what is the new birth? If it's none of those signs and wonder things that you deal with, you know, emotions or sensations or speaking in tongues or crying or praying, then what is it? See, I stand here today to say to you, and declare, just like the Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. You must, and I'm talking about me, you, all of us, must have the new birth. If not, we're lost. But yet I can sit and read, I can stand here and read faces. I don't have to read inside. What? Well, he's telling me I'm lost. If you're not born again, you are. What's the point? I ain't arguing with nobody. Come on, if I'm not born again, I'm lost. What about you? But I believe the prophet. Does that make you something different? Nicodemus would tell you he believed all of the prophets. Right? We claim to believe one prophet. He claimed to believe every one of them. Come on, church. I wish you'd get down one of these days to just thinking sensible. We read the Bible and we think, boy, we got it. I've taught you over and over. You realize we read the account of Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus. It takes you 2 or 3 minutes to read it. We think he gathered him up in a room with him somewhere, and about 3 minutes later, he's walking out the door. Come on. That situation could have taken hours for them to sit and discuss. The Bible don't say that. With common sense, you think Nicodemus put his life on the line? You think the Lord Jesus met him and said those few words to him and Nicodemus gets up and walks out the door? Something's wrong with your mental. There's that common sense part. Something's wrong with your common sense. Maybe you're smart, but you don't have no common sense. They could have been talking for hours about the scriptures. Why? Because it started out in a good situation. Nicodemus making the confession that no man can do the things you do unless God be with him. Nicodemus saying, you know, that about Jesus. Jesus saying about Nicodemus. He said, you are the teacher. The greatest of all the teachers of that day stood there with the God of glory. And you think they spent about 5 minutes talking over a little situation and got up and walked out the door. I'm just plain. I'm sorry. That shows me you don't have plain common sense. If you had plain common sense, you'd sit down and think it over. What would be your argument for them to take hours discussing the Bible? Pretty good situation to be sitting on, wouldn't it? Pretty good opportunity for them to be able to discuss the scriptures. But my main point is one thing. Nicodemus' life and things, he had everything in order. But he couldn't understand. He must be born again. All of his life he'd been taught, go to church, pay your tithe, live a good life, do all what God said, or don't do what he said don't do. Right? And he would sit there saying, these things I've done. Pretty good man, wasn't he? Do you understand? He's a pretty good man. That rich young ruler was a good guy. He had kept all the commandments. But yet that didn't make him born again. Right? You say, well, if he just went and sold everything and give it. If he'd went and sold everything, he still had to went to the upper room. Now, come on, don't go that way with me. If he'd went and sold everything, give everything away, he would have still had to went to the upper room to receive the new birth. Because that was the only possibility of receiving eternal life. The only possibility in the Bible terminology they're speaking was an upper room experience. That they had to be born again. Right? What about it? Could we be like Mary? Could we be denying the Lord Jesus to be who he says he is? Maybe that's why we don't have the new birth. Well, see, I'm not that smart, but I got a little decent common sense, I think. I've been argued about that a lot. That's all right. I think we don't try to sit down and think about things. Well, you must be born again. Well, all we got to do is shout and cry, and grandma done it, and she's saved. But here's one that they slap back in your face, you know. Just cause you done them things don't mean you're going to heaven. You saying grandma ain't in heaven? See, that closed the whole story. That ended it between Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus, if that's where they'd have got. And he went out the door. You saying my grandma was lost cause I was there when she shouted. Well, praise God. Grandma's gonna face God herself. Because this is one thing I firmly believe. Every born-again believer has to have their own personal experience with God. Now, that's as plain as I can believe about anything. It's not because mama and daddy were Christians. That was a help to bring them to church, put them in the right atmosphere and a different thing. But it didn't save nobody. Come on, I'm just as plain as can be with the way that I talk and the way that I do, and I'm sorry. I had a good family and they kept me in church. That didn't save me. As a matter of fact, that was the biggest hindrance I had, was the church of the day. I've told you about it, and I'm not throwing off on nobody. I knew, and I told them, they come talk to me about getting saved one day. And I said, look, I said, I live a better life than your deacon board lives. And, but they didn't want me to explain it. They never asked me who or what not. They got up and left. I said, because I live a better life than your deacon board lives. And then you're talking to me if I need to be saved. You need to be there talking to them. Right? Because I was just honest and sincere. That's why I was 18 years old before I was ever converted in any form in a Baptist church or anything. Because I was above the point of just accepting this or that or the other, you know. Well, all you got to do is just be saved and just, all we gotta, you know, God understands. Hell's going to be full of people that thought God understood. Don't you think that Mary thought she understood? She said, your father and I. Jesus said, I must be about my father's business. He straightened her out right there in front of everybody. Now, I'm serious and honest. I don't even believe Mary had that problem anymore. I'm serious about that. I think that ended Mary's statement. It was only the one time that she flopped wrong. You know, because once she heard that, she knew who she was talking to. Because she knew that was a virgin-born son of the living God. She had birthed him short of noted. Right? But Brother Dale, and that's what I told you, don't misunderstand me. There's 120 in the upper room, took them 3.5 years, but the first thing downstairs only took them a few minutes. I've never taught nothing like anybody would say that, you know, that you got to go through a long experience of getting born again. No. It's according to what you can believe, what you can understand. Right? There was people that received the Holy Ghost just from hearing the word. But I can quote to where the prophet said, very few will believe all the way to receiving the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because they don't know. Come on, I'm serious with you. How many preachers you ever heard preach on the new birth? And keep trying their best to read to you over and over and over and over, knowing you're resenting it, knowing you're not accepting it to be, but knowing that the prophet of God told us what the new birth was, and we're supposed to be believing him, and that the new birth was what? The revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Those disciples for 3.5 years had a great experience, but when that Holy Ghost fell in the upper room, they went up there as scared to death because they thought they was going to die. Right? They had seen the Lord Jesus and seen what he went through and thought he would be the one to deliver. But when they come down to the point, they've seen all of that. They say, we ain't delivered yet. They get to the upper room. And like I've always said, if it's all you got to do is just believe it, where's the other 380 that had seen him after his resurrection? The Bible says that. That's not me. The Bible says he was seen of over 500 brethren. The Bible calls them brethren. I'm not saying they didn't go later and receive the new birth. No. But why did they turn away from him? Do you know what the new birth is? And see, there's where we go. Well, I done this, I done that. I didn't ask you that. What is the new birth? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Come on, you want scripture? Get over in Acts 2 or whatever it is, I believe it is, where that Peter's describing the message, going back to him, you know, and the coming back over after Pentecost. And he said, listen, Peter, what is your new birth? Well, I was up here and there's this light come down and these things happened and we shouted and we cried. We done all. Now, he didn't say nothing like that. What did he say? Come on, I thought we were supposed to be Bible reading Christians. Didn't it say? Didn't Peter say? This is that was spoken of by the prophets. There's another one of them things. Do you think that's all he said? This is that. He might have spent 30 minutes explaining what this and that was. He could go back to, what is it? Ezekiel. He could have went and took Ezekiel and read it right to him, you know. What, Ezekiel 36 or is it 35? What it is? Ezekiel, where they're talking about you get a new heart and a new spirit. See, we had that all messed up. New heart and new spirit. Well, I get this and I get that. He said, did I not put my spirit in you? Amen. Brother Run said that new heart and new spirit was not the new birth. That's what your prophet said. He said, but I put my spirit in you. He said, there's the new birth. See, Peter could have been explaining all of those things. Yet we think it's a 5 minute little plot. It's over with. Well, see, put your own experience in there sometime and think about it. Think about your own experience in life. And where you come from and what led you to where you're at and what you're doing. You're surely not just putting it on you, shouted your way where you're at. Because I'll tell you, you're wrong. I'll tell you, you cried your way to where you're at. Come on, anybody want to argue with that one? You didn't glory hallelujah all your life. No, that a lot of our life, Christian life has been crying out on our knees, trying to find out from God what to do and where we're at and what's going on. I walked out of that Baptist church. I was a deacon and everything else, 23 years old, ordained a deacon in a Baptist church. And I walked out of there that day. I walked out in the backyard in an old barbecue pit thing they had made. I got down on my knees and I cried out, God, now I know I can't go back. But I've explained to you what a baptism and how your Baptists hold to that. You're going to be baptized again if you go to the Baptist church. Now you can take my word for it. And I said, Lord, it's through. It's finished. I'm done. I can't go back. I've got to go forward. But where's forward? My mother, my brother that was my daddy figure, because he was my oldest brother. Dad died when I was 4, and I didn't have no daddy that way. But he said, what are you going to do, Sam? He said, you want a church? We'll build you one. Listen, I don't even know what I'm called to preach. I don't know anything about it. I just know I can't stay here. Mama said, where are you going? I said, I don't know. We're going up to Gainesville for a while. I found a church. But I said, I don't know where I'm going. I wasn't glory, hallelujah. I was down and out. Because I now had nowhere to go, nothing to do. They wouldn't, none of them had me. Hey, church, my family was one of the biggest ones in that church. I could have pulled some strings with all of my brothers and sisters and took over that church. But I knew I wasn't going to do that. I was going to search for God until I found him. But already hearing about the message, reading sometimes 6 books in one day, things like that, I read just constantly. Brother Colleen tell you, I'd sit down there where he was working at and just had books I would just read and half the night sometime. Amen. I already had that working. But that wasn't my new birth. I'm going to have told you, seen the angel of God when I was 11 years old standing in a church. That wasn't my new birth. I'm going to tell you things that happened in my life, but I never claimed none of them as my new birth. The new birth that I have was the birth of the Word. When the Word come unfolded to me. And it's been unfolding ever since. I'll take that as my experience of the new birth. What is yours? You say, yeah, but how do I teach my children to teach your children exactly what we're going to go through? You're going to go through justification. You're going to repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. Then you're going to go to sanctification and have it cleansed and set aside and do. Then we're going to go to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We got a long ways to go, kids. Hang on. But you've been with me long enough to know that I've always just been one thing. Always my love and things is for these children. To try to get them to God. Because I know what the new birth is. People will say, well, that wasn't what happened to me when I got born again. Well, I'm not the guy that wrote the book. But if my life patterns the book better than your life patterns the book, then I'd be worried about it if I was you. Right? Well, all I've done is cried. Now, you can't tell me I ain't saved. There's where you're at. You're doing the same thing. You don't understand. You're doing the same thing that Mary denied Jesus being the virgin birth. You're denying him being Almighty God. He had a natural birth into the world, right? And when Nicodemus said, how can I do these things? He said, if I can't get you to see natural things, you won't be seeing no spiritual things. He said, you've got to be born from where I come from. Or the original, as I said, look it up. It says to be born from above. In other words, born from where he is born from. Well, he had a birth. I thought our new birth was that part there, that Christ is coming to live inside of us. I thought that was the new birth. I didn't know it was shouting and crying and feeling. I thought it was a person. Come on, church. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, I believe the new birth is a revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the person of Almighty God that's come to live in you and me. Amen. Go to Spoken Word Original Seed. Read a little bit on that one. Where Brother Branham said, for the birth of the Word is Christ, not of polluted with denominations. The early church, no denominations, just the Word and Spirit irrigated, brother. God laid the Word down like that, and the Holy Spirit irrigated it, and there she went. She brought forth children. You understand what he's saying? God laid the Word into them disciples for 3.5 years. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost come to irrigate that, as he's saying, or in other words, to make the Word alive. On the day of Pentecost, the Word was made alive into their hearts. They knew that was Jesus then. They did not know argument. They had a revelation of who it was. Have we ever had that experience? Well, Brother Dale, I don't understand it because you seem like you make the new birth some kind of revelation. What are you going to make it? At least mine will fit the Bible. Come on, Brian, what you got? I'll be in the office. Come, Brian, what you got? At least I can put what I'm talking about in the Bible. Because that's where I got it from. From the prophet's message, which is the Bible brought down to us in sermons and messages. Don't make the man anything. This makes him what God promised, to be a messenger. But what about it? Christ being revealed to you. Well, what's our purpose for church and going to church and the preacher and the gathering and doing? Why don't we just eat, drink, and be merry and go home and just have a good time and forget the whole thing? I thought we were supposed to be desiring revelation more than anything. Right? I thought we would desire revelation more than anything else, because the Bible says, upon this rock I'll build my church, the Lord Jesus said, right? And the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Amen. Well, I preached, opened up to the internet, and I thought, man, oh Lord, we're going to get tore up. They're going to be after us. They ain't doing it. Why? Because if I can read to you what the prophet said, don't you call me on no internet systems and try to tell me how wrong I am. I'm going to tell you, said, you show me where the prophet said it. You show me where the Bible says it. And we went all of these years without having any contact from people. Oh, yeah, they don't believe it. Because you know why? They don't understand it. Now, I'm going to say this and we'll quit it on. If you don't have the new birth, you don't know what I'm talking about. You're just getting too strong. Why? Why? If I don't have the new birth, do I have any trouble with whether the word's right or not? No, I'm going to deny every bit of it. Mary denied the virgin birth. I thought, am I wrong in quoting that Brother Branham said that the bride was to be delivered of a new birth from according to where? Malachi 4. I thought that's what he said. The bride was to be delivered of a new birth from according to Malachi 4. Now Malachi 4 is, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Well, you know what he brought is wonderful. But he expects the bride to make the word alive. That's all I've ever said. This bride is to make alive what that prophet brought. It's not a humdrum sitting around going to church and being good. Because you know what you'll do. Now argue with me. You know what you'll do. You'll go to church for a while and you'll be doing good. And then all at once you'll just float away. And you'll backslide and then you'll slide back and then you'll backslide. And, right? But Brother Dale, you shouldn't talk like that. Is it true?
Amen.
Is it true? Well, I'm just guilty of exposing it in me and you both. Come on, musicians. What is the new birth? It's the revelation. Because listen, church, I've taught you from day one that after coming in this message and I've seen it, the new birth starts with you believing and ends when you leave the world. Right? It starts when you're beginning, when you believe it, and it ends when you leave the world. And we just quoted a quote to start with, that the message of cheer will be down through the endless ages after this world's over with. So we're just getting started. Let's don't deny the word. Do you believe Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? See, if not, then we're denying the word. Now, come on. I'll slap it down. Well, now, Brother Dale, I can believe that 40, 50 years ago when the prophet was here. Uh-oh. You don't believe it now, then. So when did he stop being Hebrews 13:8? Simple question. Let's see whether you agree with the word or not. I've taught from day one in this message that Jesus Christ is the same that he's ever been. And I've seen him deliver with it. But if you think it's all right because of it, no. The new birth is a birth of the word. Did the prophet say it when we were quoting a while ago? God laid the word down and the Holy Ghost quickened that word. There's your new birth. That's our new birth today as well as it was then. It's what Brother Dale, I've never done. I've never had a revelation. There's something wrong with you then. There's something wrong with you. But what about it? Let's stand together. What we got, brother?
Flow through me. Flow through me. Holy Spirit. Flow through me. Flow through me. Holy Spirit.
What about it? Are you seeking it? Well, see, if you don't know you need it, you'll never seek it. But at least if you know you need it, you can seek it. You can pray for it.
Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow.
As you experience grown, since you accepted Jesus Christ, or is it still the same thing? And just
through me, Holy Spirit.
Let's don't deny the word and think that we're standing for it. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then there's supposed to be a bride that would say amen. Right? She's all over the world. She's being born again. What about it?
Flow through me, Holy Spirit.
Sing it unto him and think about it.
Flow through me, as I lift my hands to worship and to magnify thy name.
Father, we thank you for today, and we just ask you, Lord, to go with us, eat a natural meal, come back and hear Wade this afternoon. We pray that, Lord, that we would stop denying you and start receiving you and confessing you. And the main thing, Lord, that I see right now is wrong with all of us. We're not saying all is well for us. We're in our pity parties and up and down and trying to do everything. And, oh, we're just old. We're getting older. We're getting up. This is all wore out. We've done that. What has that got to do with it? We just commit it all to you. We believe you. In Jesus is your name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Holy Spirit flow.